We'll do is we will start to sing some songs about the Father's love for you, and we're going to ask Father God to come and minister it deep into your heart. See, it's not enough just to know in our head, yeah, I believe God loves me. But you need to know deep, deep down in the depths of your innermost being how precious you are to him. And when he tells you, then you start to believe it, because it goes in like a little love arrow deep into your heart. I could tell you 100 times how much he loved you, but if he says it once, it's like it goes in. And whereas what I say might just wash off. I might say, oh yeah, I believe it in my head. But our heart needs to know it deep in our spirit. So let's look at a couple of scriptures to start with that talk about God's loving nature. The first one I've got here is Exodus 34, verse 6. If you have your Bible, you can look it up if you want. These are good ones to remind yourself of later, go back to again later. I like to highlight some of these kind of scriptures in my Bible because I need to keep being reminded of this. It says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Abounding in love, not just a little bit, but abounding in it. Slow to anger. There's another verse. I was trying to locate it right now and I couldn't find it. Another one that says he's quick to forgive. I remember when my kids were really little. And, you know, as I was wanting to be a good mom, I wanted to be patient and kind and loving to my kids. But how many of you have children and know they get on your nerves once in a while? Yeah. And, you know, I would try to be such a loving, patient mom. And I remember times when, you know, they were really getting on my nerves and inside I'm starting to really get agitated, but I'm saying, no, I'm going to be sweet and nice, answer them sweetly and nicely. I want to be a good Christian mom, right? God would want me to be loving and kind, so I'm going to try to do that. And inside I'm starting to boil, like a volcano here that's about ready to erupt. And sure enough, after a little while, all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, scream at the kids, the volcano erupts. That's never happened to you, though, right? No. And then I go to God, and I'm saying, God, I'm so sorry. I blew it again. I yelled at the kids, and I was impatient again. I tried so hard, but God, I blew it. You must be so disappointed in me. And I think for about 2 years, that's all my devotional life consisted of, is apologizing to God for not being able to do everything right. I'm sorry I haven't prayed enough. I'm sorry I haven't spent enough time with you enough. I'm sorry, sorry, sorry about everything. Until one day, I came across the verse that said, he's slow to anger and quick to forgive. And it was almost like I'd been hit over the head with a baseball bat. You know how you get those revelations that hit you like that? It hit me, and God was saying, come on, just get that over with. I just want to spend time with you. And I realized, I'd been beating myself up. When God says, I'm so quick to forgive, you have a thought of repentance and it's gone, just like that. And yet we keep on beating ourselves up. We let condemnation beat us up. We let the enemy beat us up with all the accusations he sends against us. Doesn't he? He'd like to defeat you that way. But don't know that you can run to your Father, even when you've blown it, and get up on his lap and cuddle in close to him and let him wash you and cleanse you of all that stuff. He's so quick to forgive, so compassionate and kind. You know, we need to get a different picture then. I needed a different picture at that time of what my Father God was like. I thought he was harsh and critical and be always disappointing me because I had to try to be a good Christian and pull up my bootstraps and do everything right. No, he wants to help us to do it. I think I've tried to do too much to trying to be good on my own, and it wasn't working. I'm so glad we've learned about soaking, getting into God's presence. In fact, I have one friend now who's her little girl, every once in a while, you know, when her mother's starting to get agitated, you know, that volcano is about ready to erupt, the little girl very wisely comes and tugs on her mommy's leg and says, Mommy, I think it's time to go soak. She knows when her mom goes and spends time in God's presence, waiting on the Lord, she gets a better mom out of the deal. And it's true for all of us as we spend time in God's presence and let His love come and penetrate into us. It changes everything. It changes us. Even if the situation doesn't change, even if it's the same around us, He's changed us and our perspective on everything as we wait in His presence. Okay, let's look at some more verses here. Now, I know some people have a close relationship with Jesus, but with the Father, they feel, oh, no, He's way up there in the sky, and He's, you know, the one that's maybe harsh and critical of me and stuff. And Jesus is okay, because He came to earth to show us about love. Well, He's the exact representation of the Father. He came down, He said, I came to reveal the Father. That's what He says in John 17. He wanted to show, by being on the earth, how loving His Heavenly Father really was. He wanted to let you know that. He's still revealing the Father to us these days, trying to show us how much God loves us. This is what Jesus was like, and again, we know that He's the representation of the Father. It says in Matthew 9:36, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You see His heart of love there. Or how about this one? In Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, He was talking about Jerusalem, and these are the people. Yeah, it's possible to close the door there, Bob? Thank you, because it is noisy, isn't it? Distracting. But in Matthew 23:37, Jesus, He's talking to Jerusalem, and He has this heart of compassion that comes over Him, and He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So even people that were stoning the prophets that God sent, the people that, you know, they're so angry and violent, and the ones who weren't coming to God, even those people He's saying He has such a heart of compassion for. That's the Father's heart. See, even when you've blown it all, even at times when you've turned your back on God and walked away from Him, He still has such love and compassion and wants to bring you back to Himself, if you're willing. That's that nurturing heart of God. He wants to love us and nurture us. He's that God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles. That's 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. The Father of compassion, says. Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We can come to Him for all the comfort and the love that we need because His compassion overwhelms us of how much He really loves us. God also placed us. See, He's wanting to describe His nurturing love to us. And one of the ways He did it is He gave us a father. Now, our Father was supposed to be there for us, encouraging us, you know, helping us and give us direction in life, affirm who we are, speak destiny over us, say how proud He is of us. Go for it, son. Go for it, daughter. And He wants to be there for you like a father. And if your father wasn't like that, then you might have developed a wrong picture of God as a result of it. And maybe don't realize how loving and how much for you God really is. God the Father is for you. But the good news, He wants to rewrite the word Father for you, the description of what a father really is like. And He wants to speak love into your heart, and He wants to be the Father for you that you never really had. See, none of our dads are perfect. My dad was probably so loving. He was so proud of me. He'd sometimes tell me that with tears in his eyes. Yeah, and he just so supportive and always there, you know, and so affectionate and wasn't afraid to show it and show me in special ways how much I was loved. It was so special. He went through a couple bankruptcies, and when that happened, he came and apologized. I'm so sorry. I've been a terrible father. I haven't been able to provide properly for the family. And I think, no. I think back to the time of one bankruptcy, and I was only maybe about 10 years old. And I remember at that time that my dad was saying, you know, we really don't have much food to put on the table right now. And, I mean, there are 8 kids in our family. And so we're all sitting around this big table, and I remember so distinctly my father saying, I want us all to get down on our knees I remember us getting on, down on our knees by our chairs, and he said, let's ask Father God to supply what we need. And we got down on our knees and we prayed and we asked God to supply the food we needed and to pay the rent and all those kinds of things. And before we got, as we were just getting up off of our knees, there was a knock on the door. And I went running to the door, opened the door, and there was nobody there. But there were three bags of groceries sitting on the doorstep. And I went running back and I said to my dad, when he was telling me, oh, I've been a terrible father, I couldn't provide, I said, Dad, you did the very best thing in the world. You showed me who my true provider is. You pointed me to my true provider, pointed me to the Father. You couldn't have done a better job. And he was really surprised. See, it's not about, you know, doing everything perfectly. But it's about representing the Father and his love and his compassion. And all of us as parents, he wants us to have the same kind of compassion for our kids that God has had for us. And sometimes we learn from God then, as he fathers us, how we can now father. And I'm so glad that he can be a father for our kids to cover up our mistakes too. He's God healing them, redeeming them for the things that we've done wrong, because none of us are perfect either. But God placed us in families to give us the love we needed. He gave us those fathers to be there for us, but he also gave us mothers and he gave us brothers and sisters. A family is meant to be a loving place, a place we feel secure and feel safe, accepted for who we are and loved for who we are. He gave us mothers to nurture us, again, to represent the nurturing nature of Father God, what he's like. And so he gave us those moms to pour in the love that we needed and nurture us, comfort us when we're little, and, you know, to be able to run to her when we needed a safe place and to love us and comfort us in those ways. But again, some of us haven't had that as we were growing up. And we haven't learned to be able to go to God for the comfort and love that we need. And sometimes when that doesn't happen, we actually turn to false comforts. And I know that even in the church, there are many of us that still, you know, have false comforts. In fact, one day I was reading a book, and it was a book on desiring God, John Piper. And what he said, or hunger for God it was. I thought, yeah, I'm hungry for God. I want to read this book. And then found out it's a book about fasting. That's not what I wanted, you know. But you know what he got to me? Because what he was saying is that when we fast, we're not just to do it because we want to convince God how much we want him to answer our prayer. That's the way I used to think of fasting. But he said, no, fast in order to remind yourself of how hungry you are for God. Every time you get a grumble in your tummy, say, oh God, I'm so hungry for you. And turn to him to meet the need instead of turning at other things. He talked about comfort foods. He said, you know, we all have comfort foods, you know, go to food for comfort. I thought, oh no, I'm sure that's not me. You know, maybe some people that have some eating disorders or something, maybe that might be true of that situation. But I'm not sure that's not me. And then I stopped and thought, oh, just a minute. I have some foods I call my comfort foods. I guess I do it too. You know, the nice hot, you know, stew kind of things, or soup on a hot, on a rainy, cold day, that kind of thing. You know, I love a hot soup on that kind of day. It's so comforting and so warm, and let it go down so smooth and warm into my tummy. It's comforting. I thought, you know, he was talking about we go to other things for comfort. Maybe it's to watch TV, to read a good book, and to eat and chocolate and coffee and all those things that bring comfort to us, you know, that we need. Got to have that coffee. You know? Is there anything wrong with good food and coffee and? Call it J.O.M.O. There's nothing wrong with coffee. Chocolate, anybody? nothing wrong with those things. They're good things that God has given us. Good gifts that our Father's given us to enjoy, to bring us comfort and beauty and lovely chocolate and all those things. You know? He's given us those things as gifts, but the problem is sometimes we turn to them or to other people or to other things, or to addictions, or things in our life. We turn to those things because we feel we need to have those. I can't live without them. I've got to have them. I've got to have that comfort. Oh, yeah, I feel a little bit better once I've had my coffee in the morning. I'm not so stressed out now. You know, all those things that we turn to. Again, there's nothing wrong with them, except we need to turn to Him first. He is our God of all comfort. All comfort. Everything you need, He supplies. And as we come to Him, He wants to nurture your heart. He wants to comfort your heart. He wants to bring peace to you in anxious times. And things when you worry, He wants to take the worry and help you to trust Him, give you peace in your heart, give you joy in your heart. All those good things He wants to pour in. But we need to learn. It's something we learn how to do is learn how to turn to Him to draw what we need from Him instead of from turning from other things. So this book, when I read it, challenged me even to sometimes fast something else. Whatever it was I was turning to, if I was reading it, wanted just to read a good book and escape from life a little bit, you know, I'm thinking, okay, instead right now, I'm going to come and I'm going to turn to You. And I'm just going to have You come and speak to me, read from Your Word and instead, and just let You comfort my heart. I'm going to turn to You now instead. And I was thinking even things like, instead of turning to the medicine box for that headache pill, you know, it's like turn to Him first. Because we always tend to go to the aspirin first or the Tylenol first. And instead of asking for Him, I mean, I do that too. I forget. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, God, I should be asking You first. You know, and if the headache's there, I know You supply medicine. And, you know, that's something, again, a gift from You to be able to help take care of these things. But recognizing He's our healer. He'll use people, He'll, you know, medical staff, He'll use medicine. But He's the healer. I want to turn to Him for everything we need. So we want to learn to have let Him be our comforter, let Him be our nurturer, let Him be everything that we need. So He's given us families, placed us in families. He's given us a church family. Thank goodness for the church family, right? To come and get love, especially if you've come from an abusive home kind of situation where it's not safe for you. That you can come here and be loved by your brothers and sisters here. And a home, though, is meant to be a nurturing place to be an example of God's family. God placed us in families in order to give us what we need and the security we need. And if it's not that, then we again turn to other things, other people. And we again, He wants to be all our comfort and our love. He wants to pour out His love through our families, through the church family to each other. As we hug each other, love each other, bring life to each other, speak life into each other, uphold each other, stand with each other in hard times, pray for each other. You know, that all is part of God's heart coming through. God will use those people. But it really comes from Him anyway, doesn't it? Again, what He speaks to you today when someone prays over you, He comes and He touches your heart. And that's what really makes a difference, isn't it? And it's His love flowing through people. So instead of turning to people for the love that we need, if we turn to Him, He'll use people. It'll be His love pouring out through them. But He's still the one that's the God of all love, isn't He? He is love. That's who He is. So we learn to draw what we need from Him. And when we're in our families, He wanted us to receive that love through affectionate touch, through looking in the eyes and being told how precious they are. Little babies, what they need the most as a tiny little baby is to see the joy on your face when you see them. I practice this when I see my little grandson, Jack. It's easy, though, with him. Yeah. But, you know, he comes in the door and says, Jack, it's so good to see you. And he sees a big smile of joy on my face as I look in his eyes. And I see all his big face glow, you know. He's 9 months old now, in case you're interested. You know, Joe's got pictures on his iPhone, in case you're interested. But so see him just light up. And it brings their spirits to life. To know that they are loved and that they bring joy to people's hearts. It brings their spirits alive and helps them to come out and enjoy the fullness of life. And we need to even do that with each other, you know? Just look in each other's eyes and say, Susan, I'm so glad to see you. I haven't seen you for a while, and you're gorgeous. And as you look in their eyes and you speak life into each other's eyes, that's why I love the prophetic, you know? You speak life and destiny into each other's spirits, deep down into their spirit, and affects them on the deep in the inside. And God wants to love us and nurture us in that way through our families and through our church families. Next page. I wanted to give an example in scripture of how God will take a bad situation in your life. You might think, I haven't had that in my family. I've been abused in my family. It's not been a safe place. It's a violent place. It's a, you know, any of those kinds of things. God can turn it around because He is our nurturer. And if we turn to Him, for instance, even look in the book of Exodus, Exodus 2 with Moses. Here there's this decree in the land, they're going to kill, slaughter all the little anyone 2 years old and under. And so all the babies are getting slaughtered. But God had a plan and a destiny in Moses' life. And so his mother hid him for a while until she couldn't do it anymore safely. So she put him in that basket to float down the river. And the Lord brought the princess of the whole nation of Egypt to find him in this basket. And she didn't have children and obviously wanted one. And see this little baby, she rescued him, raised him in the royal home. But even better than that, she found, said, bring me a Hebrew that can help to nurse this baby. Is there one of these nursing moms that's lost their baby who can still nurse them? And, oh yeah, here's a mom right here. Someone brought her his own mother. Wow. So he was nursed at the breast of his own mother, which is amazing. And she helped to raise him and pour that love into him. That's God's provision for him in a hard place. Look at Hagar and Ishmael. You know, that because of Sarah's jealousies, Hagar and Ishmael were sent out into the desert to die, virtually. But God saw them there crying out in their desperation. And God had a plan and purpose for Ishmael's life as well. And God provided water for them in the desert and took care of them and made a great nation even out of Ishmael as well. You know, God will provide for you no matter what it is that you've gone through. He's got a plan and a purpose to rescue you, a plan and a purpose to bring good things into your life in spite of what others have done. He wants to pour in His love and comfort. In fact, he said, even if your mother and father forsake you, I will be a mother and a father to you. I know with me, I had a loving father. And I had a loving mother as well. I mean, as she became older, we became best friends. Other than Jeremy, she was my best friend. And my best intercessor when I went out, you know, to travel. Just could share anything with her. And I knew I was totally loved unconditionally by my mom. That was great. But as I was a little girl, see, again, you know, I talked about how many kids we had. Well, my mom, when, you know, married at 18, 19 had Phil, me at, when she was 20, Jerry came along 21, Bert came along 22. You know, then she learned to spread them out a bit. But but at 22 years old, she brought the fourth one in from the hospital, and the oldest one had just turned 3 years old. That's how close we were. And she said she tried to survive through that. Put her emotions on hold, just went from one need to the next. You know, she couldn't breastfeed. She was just too busy with everybody and everything else. And so she had no nurture or love that she could give to me in those early years as I was growing up. And I had to become mommy's little helper because I was the second oldest. And so she was, you know, needed me to help. She didn't have what I needed. She couldn't give me what I needed. Now, I don't blame her for that. There's no way I'm blaming her, but my heart needed the nurturing and love. And what it did to me is for the longest time, I felt shut down emotionally on the inside because she didn't bring that to life in me through the nurture that I needed at that time. And so God brought healing to my heart through that. For me, I realized I'd made an inner vow, even at 2 years old, I'm going to have to take care of myself then because there's nobody to take care of me. Yikes. So when I got older and the Lord showed me a pattern all through my life where I was taking care of everybody else, but I just take care of myself. I had hardened my heart shut down my heart to protect myself, thinking, well, I'm not getting the love that I need. I won't need it then. And I shut it off. And so it took some healing from the Lord and breaking off that inner vow that I would always take care of myself, and instead saying, God, forgive me for that. I break off agreement with that vow, and now I'm going to say, Lord, I do need you, and I do need the body of Christ, and I finally admit it. And now once I did that and broke agreement with that, something happened in the spiritual realm. Something was broken off my life, and now I found I could start to receive the love from people. I could start to receive God's love and let it touch my heart, because before that I couldn't. My heart was closed off to that. I knew in my head he loved me. I've been brought up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor when I was little. I knew that God loved me, but I couldn't let it touch my heart. With me, it was because I needed the nurturing love of my mom. But when she couldn't supply it for me, and I learned to turn to God and say, God, I do need your love. I do need the love of the family. And I want to find a safe place in the family to be loved. Then I could start letting it come in and touch my heart. So there may be some reason like that in your life too, why you shut off or closed off, or because of hurt or abuse, or just didn't get the love you needed. And I believe Father God wants to pour it in today and be everything you need. He wants to come and soften and touch our hearts deep down, so our hearts are impacted with his love. Ephesians 3:16 to 19 says, we cannot understand how high and wide and long and deep is the love of God unless the Holy Spirit speaks it deep into the depths of our innermost being. You can't know how big God's love is. You can't really know or understand how precious you are to him unless the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you find out and get that impact to you in the depths of your innermost being. And even today, I think he wants to heal some of our brokenness again, some of our woundedness again, some of those areas again where we didn't get the comfort and love that we needed, and where we can learn again to keep turning back to him to receive the comfort and the love and the nurture and all that we need from him, instead of turning to other false comforts or other people or other things, or just by getting busy with work or all those things, but learning to come to him for everything that we need. Why don't you stand up where you are? If you feel that, you know, when you were younger that you didn't get the love and nurturing that you needed, especially from your mom, but in your family in general, you didn't get that encouragement, that feeling safe, and didn't get the nurture and comfort. I just want to raise your hand where you are. Okay, quite a number. Yeah. Can you just turn to God right now and just say, God, I want you to come and meet that need of my heart. Can you say, Lord, I forgive my family. Just speak it out after me if you can, if you want to. Lord, I forgive my family for not being able to give me what I needed. Just speak it out. There's power in the spoken word. In fact, why doesn't everyone just speak it out? Lord, I forgive my family for not being able to give me what I needed. Not always accepting me or understanding me, not making me feel valuable. I forgive my mom for not being able to comfort me and nurture me to life the way I needed her to do. I forgive her for not having the love that she needed to give me. Choose not to hold it against her. I just want to let it go today. For all the hurt, all the pain, I forgive you. Can you do that? Can you forgive them today from your heart? Well, yeah, you were the victim. still sometimes we reacted by getting angry and judgmental, hanging on to bitterness towards them. Can we let it go today? I choose to let that go, Lord. Yeah, they didn't, maybe didn't deserve to be forgiven, but then we didn't deserve God's forgiveness either, did we? Can you just say, I'm going to choose to give you a gift you do not deserve. Just say it out loud. My forgiveness. But I let it go today. Can you say, Lord, I want to now turn to you to meet my needs. To touch my heart with your nurturing love. I want to come to you for my comfort, for my peace, deep peace in my heart that only comes from you. Take a deep breath of his peace and his comfort right now. Just breathe it into your, take it in other words, deep into your being, his peace, his comfort, his love. Let it go in deep. Some of you might need to say, Lord, forgive me for a vow I made to take care of myself. Forgive me for being so self-protective that I kept out your love and the love of people around me. I choose to open my heart today, Lord. Can you soften my heart with your love? Will you heal my heart so that I can open my heart up more? Yeah. Some of you might need to just say, Lord, forgive me for looking to false comforts to meet my need. And just tell them what that is. Whatever it is you think that you turn to when you sense that void inside, that need inside. Is it a person? Is it something? Is it food? Is it some other addiction of some kind that you turn to? Because you're trying to fill a void, a need inside you that you don't feel is getting fully met in emptiness. Say, Lord, forgive me. I want to now turn to you to meet my need. And right now I just want to break off of you the power of whatever it is that pulls you, the power of those addictions, the power of those things that have held on to you, the strongholds that have held on to you to keep you locked in, to turning to those things and those patterns and those habits and keep turning to those things to meet that need. I want to break the power of it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Set you loose from that. Set you loose from the hold of the enemy. I pronounce forgiveness over you. I pronounce forgiveness over you for any false wrong actions you've had to the nurture and love you didn't get. And I break the power of that off of your mind, your spirit, your soul right now in the name of Jesus. And I just want to call forth your spirit. Invite your spirit to come forward to be connected with your Father God, who is your nurturer, who is your comforter, who is everything that you need. I call forth your spirit to be connected with the spirit of your God. Flow as one with him. Draw from him. I see a picture of an umbilical cord. It's like you're getting an umbilical cord attached to him so that you can draw all the nourishment you need, all the comfort you need, everything that love that you need, that you just draw it from him. And it'll just keep feeding you and feeding you all day long. It'll keep feeding you. Whoa. As you keep turning to him, I pray the Lord will remind you to turn to him to meet all of those needs. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to spend time just for a few minutes just waiting in his presence. You can just sit down where you are. I don't think there's room to lie down really in here, but if you can want to if you want to. But just close your eyes and just Turn your eyes and your focus to the Lord. He's right there in front of you. His eyes have been looking for you already. He's not far away. But as you just come and say, here I am in your presence, Lord, I've come. Let his presence just settle over you and surround you and hold you and comfort you. Let the Father speak words of comfort to you. He wants you to know who you are in him. You are his son. You are his daughter. And he wants to meet every need. He's the one who fights for you. He says you only need to be still. Because Daddy God takes care of things in the family. You can trust him. Just ask him, Lord, how much do you love me? Think about the areas where you really need him and turn to him and say, Lord, will you come and meet that need right now in my heart and let him pour his love over you.
Deep into your heart, always be drawn.
my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And the Lord Almighty says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. An illegitimate child, but you're his chosen one. He chose you before the foundation of the earth to be his own.
Don't you know the Father loves you? Don't you know how much he cares? Don't you know he's thinking of you? Don't you know he sees you there? He sees right into every part. He loves you like no other world. Don't you know the Father loves you? Don't you know how much he cares? Don't you know he's thinking of? Oh,
Father, thank you for the way that you do love us. We are convinced. Would you give us believing hearts? Give us hearts that know as well as minds how great your love is. Throughout today, Father, throughout tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, convince us again and again and again of your love. Thank you for this time that you've just come, this brief time. Thank you, Lord.